3 months into 2024, how are IPOs performing? The answer might surprise you. This is The Markets. Hi, I'm Sam Grobart. Today, I'm joined by Lizzie Reed, Global Head of the Equity Syndicate Desk in Global Banking and Markets. Lizzie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lizzie, we're closing out the first quarter of the year. How are things on the IPO front compared to years past?
It's a great question, Sam, and there's actually an interesting stat that will surprise you. So just for context for the audience, if you exclude 2021, which was an all-time record in terms of global issuance in the equity capital markets, it would probably surprise you that 2024 year-to-date is actually the fastest start to the year globally since 2018.
Huh.
And if you look just at the U.S., once again, excluding 21 all-time highs, it's actually the fastest start since 2015. For all of the articles that are in the press around IPO activity, equity capital market activity, it actually statistically is very different than what maybe some members of this audience have been reading.
And what do you think is driving that? What's driving that rapid acceleration?
I think it's really driven by a gradual improvement of investor sentiment. And we've been talking a lot about this. Sam, I've been on this podcast with you before, where we talk about investor positioning, higher cash balances. I think what's really important to know now is that the breadth of the participation from different types of investors in the marketplace and also specifically within capital markets is significantly more broad. And so we've seen an uptick in terms of mutual fund engagement, not only in terms of just the dialogue we're having, but actually putting capital to work. So there's larger ticket sizes, and there's also an increased willingness to kind of lean into valuations, where in the past couple of years it's been more disciplined, more cautious.
That's what we talked about last time you were here.
Exactly. So there's a shift in terms of investor sentiment, specifically from that mutual fund camp. And then also just more broadly speaking, sovereign wealth funds, hedge funds, retail, it's also slowly improving. So if you put your corporate hat on and you're thinking about accessing the equity capital markets for liquidity, what that really means for you is that as the market improves and your multiples expand, you're also capturing improvement in your pricing, right? Because the breadth of distribution participation is broader. So your average discount that you're achieving is tighter than you saw the past 2 years.
Right.
And the last part that people don't really talk a lot about, but it's important just for the psyche of the market, is that the performance in the aftermarket from recent issuance is also positive. So it becomes this very virtuous circle of reinvestment, which is very good for the outlook of the product.
Looking across the IPOs that you've been seeing at the beginning of this year, how would you broadly characterize them? I mean, that might be a little bit reductive, but be reductive.
Sure. So a couple of things I'd say. Look at just global IPOs year to date. It stands around $17 billion. That's up about 90% year over year. That's a big number, you know, off of the highs of 2021. But in comparison year over year, we're obviously moving in the right direction. I think what's really exciting to see, specifically within the U.S. markets, is that there have been several IPOs that have priced in the past week to 2 weeks that have been highly successful.
I want to put this in a slightly broader context, and I think you kind of addressed some of this in your last question, but I want to drill down. What role does the Fed's posture right now, which I think could be described as cautiously dovish, and that's also led to some record closes across indices, what does all of that mean right now for deal making?
Yeah, take a big step back on deal making. Just look at the market. Equity indices, all-time highs.
Yeah.
Credit spreads, near all-time tights.
Yeah.
Right? The credit market is functioning incredibly well across investment grade as well as high yield, as well as structured finance. So that market has been very strong in the past year plus, and the equity markets are quick to follow that.
Right.
So on the macro perspective, global central bank policy, the Fed, we want rate stability, right? And we're finding rate stability.
Mm-hmm.
We're also hopefully finding a more accommodative macro as the Fed starts to cut rates, which inherently will basically support more growth-oriented assets, which traditionally, specifically for IPOs, has been the lion's share of the composition in a market, right? So if you have the Fed cutting rates, you have other global banks cutting rates, you have rate stability within treasuries or Fed funds, and then you're going to see an uptick, right, in terms of more growth-oriented tech, consumer tech, industrial tech assets, having better access liquidity to the market at probably more attractive valuations than they saw in the volatility of 22 and 23.
Got it. And Lizzie, last question, what is on your radar for the beginning of Q2?
Beginning of Q2, you know, we're really focused on helping investors think about unique opportunities to deploy capital. We're focused on helping our corporates and our sponsors accessing the equity capital markets. And so the drivers that we talked about, Sam, are really consistent. Reopening of the IPO market, more or an uptick in terms of primary opportunistic issuance. Thinking about secondary monetizations, sponsors, corporate cross-holdings, VC-backed assets, convertibles, right? Incredibly active across whether investment-grade-rated companies or high-yield-rated companies. And then last but not least, private equity markets. And the private market has been incredibly resilient through this cycle. And so we're really focused on this inflection point where the macro continues to stabilize, the markets reopen, and then you'll see a flood of demand for really best-in-class paper. And so we're definitely in the mode right now of staying forward-footed or front-footed with our clients and trying to help them navigate a window Q2, Q3, into a Q4 election that inherently will have some volatility around it.
Lizzie Reed, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sam.
That does it for another episode of The Markets. Be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more, please visit us at gs.com and subscribe to Briefings, our weekly newsletter on the global economy. I'm Sam Grobart. Thanks so much for listening. The opinions and views expressed in this program may not necessarily reflect the institutional views of Goldman Sachs or its affiliates. This program should not be copied, distributed, published, or reproduced in whole or in part, or disclosed by any recipient to any other person without the express written consent of Goldman Sachs. Each name of a third-party organization mentioned in this program is the property of the company to which it relates, is used here strictly for informational and identification purposes only, and is not used to imply any ownership or license rights between any such company and Goldman Sachs. The content of this program does not constitute a recommendation from any Goldman Sachs entity to the recipient and is provided for informational purposes only. Goldman Sachs is not providing any financial, economic, legal, investment, accounting, or tax advice through this program or to its recipient. Neither Goldman Sachs nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this program and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. Our theme music was composed by Soundboard.